there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
This is the Lombardi Line with Ben Wilson and Mike Pritchard on VSiN.
Hey, everybody, welcome in another edition of the Lombardi Line, live from downtown Las Vegas. It's the Circus Sportsbook Studios, an unusually packed Circus Sportsbook Studio right now. All the patrons for Team Mexico in the house right now with the World Cup going on. We have all things football. There is the shot of the book, by the way, 0-0 at the break between Mexico and Poland right now. We're here to talk all things NFL for the next 2 hours, though, with the former NFL wide receiver, Mike Pritchard. I'm Ben Wilson. Last night in Mexico, Estadio Azteca, Mexico City, an absolute dominant performance by the San Francisco 49ers, 38-10 win, taking advantage of a beat-up Arizona team without starting quarterback Kyler Murray. You and I have talked a couple times about San Francisco and some of your doubts being led by a quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo, who's shown some inconsistencies at times. What did you make of the effort last night, though, in a comprehensive 60-minute effort?
Highly efficient effort. Taking advantage of the talent that he has around him. Kyle Shanahan calling a great game, I believe, too. The creativity on display, big time for the 49ers. I was waiting to see that. Now that we had a couple weeks with Debo back from injury, you got Christian McCaffrey freshly off the trade, Jimmy G seemingly settled in, Kittle, Juszczyk, I mean, everybody was on the field for the 49ers. So we saw a ton of creativity from Kyle Shanahan with that matchup against the Cardinals, a familiar opponent. You know, he's had a losing record against the Cardinals too. So I thought Jimmy G was perfect. He just managed the game. That's all Kyle Shanahan wants Jimmy G to do at this point. Now, I did see some deficiencies and I did see some things that could hurt 49ers. But I thought the new look 49ers is off to a good start.
Well, that's where we should start, looking at where at this point still are the deficiencies for San Francisco, a team that now has moved into pretty tightly that second spot in the NFC playoff picture, at least on the odds board. We'll get to the full playoff pictures in both conferences in our next segment. San Francisco is now a team, though, that is sub plus 350 to win the NFC. Heading into last night, I'd really identified three deficiencies. Okay. Turnover margin, bottom six in the league, and then both pass and run blocking, with which you look at the pass or run block win rate, which ESPN compiles, both well in the bottom half of the league in those two regards. Turnover margin last night, plus two. That would seem like, and you can speak to this as the former player, something that is more variant and that you would, I would assume, anticipate to continue to improve for San Francisco here in the back half of the year.
Yeah, I think it will. That defense is phenomenal. You know, they're going to get more pressure. Armstead's going to be back, and they're going to get more pressure on quarterbacks, and panic situations are going to be created, getting turnovers that way from the quarterbacking play opposite of the 49ers defense. You know, fumbles are random, depending on how you attack the ball and depending on who's carrying it too. But I think the defense can get multiple stops at times, though, which helps the 49ers in what they want to do defensively. Now, offensively, I mentioned Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, the block rate and everything like that. That running game is going to get going, though. That running game is going to be phenomenal. It's a familiar opponent that we saw last night, and so that's going to be different too. But I think they're going to improve. They're going to get healthier in that regard as well. But Jimmy G went 20 of 29 for 228 yards, right? He had four touchdowns.
Not bad.
But air yards, See, they were operating so efficiently that the vertical game wasn't there, and it needs to be, because teams are going to start condensing the field for the 49ers. They're going to start covering that stuff up, and they're going to force Jimmy G to throw the ball and threaten them vertically. But he's challenged that way, though. He's got to improve. He threw a lot of high balls last night. But on top of that, he's so inaccurate at times vertically down the field that I wonder how they're going to evolve that aspect of Jimmy G's game right now.
It's a great way to look at it. With the air yards, it has usually not been something that is among the league leaders. But his his accuracy is good because it is more
dink and dunk. Yeah,
routes,
exactly.
And that is why the stats, advanced metric-wise, do look very favorable for Jimmy Garoppolo, who grades out as a top 10 quarterback because of what you're saying, a lack of risk taken downfield, was able to utilize that against a banged up defense like Arizona, at least for the offensive line and the blocking. Much was made of Trent Williams as a left tackle. Was he tipping plays, and did that even matter? That was a big media storyline coming into the game. But a team against a top 12 rush defense in Arizona that rushes for nearly 6 yards a play, Mike, and clearly, after looking a little rusty coming out of the bye, still trying to integrate Christian McCaffrey into the offense, to me, it appears as though they have turned the corner in that regard, understanding how to utilize such a variety of weapons that, to me, like, those were the two concerns. Run blocking and pass blocking didn't allow a single sack. Garoppolo only got hit 4 times on the pass blocking side. Big steps in the right direction, at least how I watched it, on at least from the eye test last night.
Yeah, he had a lot of time in the pocket, too, and it's because of the variety of formations, variety of personnel packages that the 49ers have right now. Even if you are the Cardinals and you're highly familiar with the scheme, you don't know how to defend. You don't know how to line up against the 49ers. This sole reason why I was on the 49ers from a teaser standpoint. I
should have known.
I know.
Mention
right?
The teaser.
I thought about laying 8 points when, but they got up, bet up to 10 after the Kyler Murray news. But I was like, no, I'm all good. I'm good with my teaser. But and I was happy about the situation, but a comfort though, no sweat at all, because I knew how much pressure those personnel packages were going to put on any defense, let alone a defense that's familiar with them. So Christian can be a receiver or running back. Debo can be a receiver or running back. Ayuk is capable receiver. We know Kittle, and then Juszczyk. I mean, my goodness, it's like, how do you even match up with that offense personnel-wise when you know now you're in the matchup phase of the National Football League?
Down to plus 325 now to win the NFC, and that is going to be extrapolated out into the lines going forward. 9-point home favorites, Mike, against New Orleans next week, who did get on the board, were able to bounce back with a win against the Rams. What do you think of that early line laying a similar margin to what we just saw in a neutral field against Arizona?
Might be lofty. I mean,
I was thinking the same thing, but yeah. It's like, do you really want to step in front of the train right now, given the limited offensive weapons when it's Andy Dalton as a starting quarterback for New Orleans?
Right, but health-wise, I mean, I think New Orleans, we'll find out if they'll get healthier on the defensive side of the ball. But like Andy Dalton, and like a lot of quarterbacks in the National Football League, there's not an elite situation there. And if you can surround Andy Dalton with a number of great players, now you're working with something. It's like the Geno Smith strategy, right? I think Jimmy G is enjoying it with the personnel he has around him. If you look at the Saints, Olave, Rookie of the Year candidate, Jarvis Landry is coming back from injury, you know, and you still got Kamara. I mean, you still have some pretty decent weapons around Andy Dalton. He's just got to avoid being Andy Dalton, though, you know, and if you can get him to manage the game with that talent and then get healthy defensively, it could be a more competitive matchup right there. So I'll see what that number does during the week, though. I'm so high on the 49ers right now. I picked them to be the hot team, kind of like what I did last year with Cincinnati.
You are looking very good on that, and that's even with you having some doubts about Garoppolo coming in, but clearly the Niners have checked all the boxes, at least over the past few weeks. We'll see where the market goes on New Orleans this week after it's gone heavily against the Saints. All the money went to Pittsburgh 2 weeks ago on the road. Steelers won the game outright. All the money went to the Rams last week in New Orleans, and the Saints were able to wipe away an early deficit, win that game by 7 against the Rams. That opened as an 8-point spread just on a placeholder ahead of Monday night last night in favor of San Francisco, reposted at 9, and a couple books have already ticked to 9.5. So early indications, market going to be in support of San Francisco. There's the element on the Arizona side, talking about the Saints and teams who have been maddeningly inconsistent. Ugh. Cardinals look miserable, especially in the back end of the secondary, yet again. Now 4-7 under head coach Cliff Kingsbury. I was wrong. I thought Arizona could keep the game within a 10 or 10.5 point margin simply because of a strong rush defense that was top 12 in the league and an ability to maybe make San Francisco more one-dimensional, force Jimmy Garoppolo to throw balls downfield. Yeah, they couldn't do that. About 6 yards a carry, 6.8 yards per play last night for the Niners. The other thing, too, Cardinals have been a very good pass-blocking team, which I figured would give Colt McCoy a little more time to throw the ball. Mm-hmm. Top 12 in the pass-block win rate metric so far. But it's obvious now. Three starting offensive linemen have hit IR. Three sacks allowed, 8 hits. I get it. It was a elite pass rush team you're facing in San Francisco. But those concerns only have to grow, right, for Arizona when the two things you thought they could at least do got completely blown out of the water on Monday.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, evaluating that roster going into training camp, it wasn't a very deep roster. I know that they were aging two up front. So if you accumulate injuries along the way, now you're going into a talent pool that's not competitive within that division even. I know a lot has been made of Kyler Murray not playing, and okay, Colt McCoy, more efficient player, probably a more disciplined player too. Give structure to that offense, but they lack explosiveness. They lack creativity with it as well. So you talk about condensing the field, the 49ers were able to do that, right? And then on top of that, you throw in the injury situation, and then, okay, the backup players are just not the caliber they need to be competitive within that division. Gave more comfort to my play, again, with the 49ers. The Cardinals, to me, started off so badly, so poorly with the offseason and the training camp, and then as the season has transpired, I mean, they're not getting better. I don't know where they turn to get better either, right? I mean, you can't reinvent this entire roster. And then if you try to, is Kingsbury the type of coach to be able to do that, to be able to go through something like that? I don't think he is.
And it's week 12.
Right.
Talking about the final few weeks of the season. Mm-hmm. Market has quickly gone to the Chargers side. LA goes to Arizona, where the Cardinals playing at home this year. It's been a house of horrors. Only one win so far in Glendale. And that placeholder line that books usually set ahead of Monday night games for teams who are playing in those games, mm-hmm. It was Chargers -3.5. It's already ticked up a full point today, Mike, largely because of the ineptitude of Arizona combined with how impressive a showing we saw out of the Chargers Sunday night, even in a last-second loss to Kansas City. Hard to quibble with the market wanting to go in the Chargers' direction.
No, I can't argue with it, but I will say
it's also,
this.
It's also the Chargers laying more than a field goal on the road.
Yeah,
it's the principle.
Right, and I will say this. The Chargers' back door is always open.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's like they need a breeze through that house or something. I mean, that back door is always open for the Chargers, and I think a lot of it has to do with Staley, the schemes, the lack of knowledge on when to call certain defenses. I mean, I think that's in play there. So that line's taken up, like you mentioned, man. But just be aware of that back door is wide.
That is a great point to be aware of. We'll see where the next move goes from there. Do we touch five, or do we see a little buyback on a home dog this week in week 12? Chargers are on the outside looking into the AFC playoff picture. We talked about the Niners. They are right in the mix now, tied with Seattle, and have the tiebreaker for the NFC West lead. We'll break down our power ratings on all the top teams in both NFC and AFC when we return.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN with Ben Wilson and Mike Pritchard.
It is time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM has all of your favorite wagering options along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. As we get things rolling on a Tuesday on the Lombardi Line, we'll have Will Hill join us a little bit later this hour, outstanding VSiN betting analyst who joins us every Tuesday, as will Josh Applebaum, who stops by, host of VSiN Morning Daily Bets. Pritch, it's gotten a little sullen behind us here in the sportsbook studios because Poland has a penalty.
Uh-oh.
They're at the penalty spot, Robert Lewandowski. We'll see if he can punch it in here. The Mexico fans, not happy. It was a very festive atmosphere when we walked in at about 8 a.m. Oh! We got to get the reaction shot. Oh, my goodness. Lewandowski saved Mexico. Wow.
It's going nuts.
This is nuts.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Look at him.
That is awesome.
Look at him. This has been unverified, but I'm pretty sure this is the largest Team Mexico watch party in Las Vegas here at
Circa. I think you're right.
It's so cool to walk in here at 8 a.m. on a Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And the party, there were people apparently here watching Argentina at 3 a.m. So, wow. Mexico, big save. Nil-nil there. We're talking NFL.
Huge save.
Though. Mike, you're learning soccer. You haven't made any bets yet.
No bets yet. But first of all, soccer was my first sport.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I was faster than everybody, so I was up and down the field.
I mean, that makes a lot of sense.
I know. The pitch, right?
Pritch, a bursting flanker down the seam.
Yeah, but no, I can appreciate World Cup. That's for sure.
Well, I know if Mexico does score, we will hear it behind us first, and we'll break it out. It's a nil-nil right now. We'll see if we can get Pritch on any bets at some point during the World Cup. Right now, though, we're looking at power ratings and breaking down, first, the NFC playoff picture. With San Francisco's win last night, have shortened out. BetMGM, Niners have a +325 number next to their name to win the NFC. Remember, we first started talking about the overall perspective long-term for the Niners when they were 9-1 to win the NFC, 18-1 to win the Super Bowl. We kind of liked it then. Of course, didn't make the bet, which I'm kicking myself on now. But as we take a look at where the NFC stands at this point, in Philadelphia, who has fallen off a little bit, +220 now to win the NFC, yet it's been two very unconvincing performances in a row. The director of the sportsbook behind us here at Circa, Jeff Benson, tweeted out last night that at least based on Circa's numbers, a very respected shop that takes a lot of sharp, respected action, at this point, Philadelphia would not be favored over San Francisco on a neutral field. San Francisco would be third in the overall power ratings behind only, at this point, Buffalo and Kansas City. Do you agree with that? Would you power rate San Francisco higher right now than Philadelphia if the two were playing on a neutral?
I tell you what, they're mirror images, really. Both highly creative offensively. Highly, highly creative offensively with personnel. The offensive line structured, healthy. Defensively, they get after you. They pressure you to take the ball away at times. So where I would side with the 49ers, and probably this is where Jeffrey Benson is going, it's coaching experience. You know, Kyle Shanahan has coached in the Super Bowl, and certainly the lineage from his father, Mike Shanahan, probably outweighs Nick Sirianni a little bit in that staff, too. I mean, one of the things that's happening to the Eagles is that offensively, now that you're limited without Dallas Goedert and you got a banged-up A.J. Brown, what's happening to that offense, right? Where's the creativity? Where's the playmakers? Or where's the matchups? And are you just calling plays? And I think Shane Steichen, the offensive coordinator for the Eagles, is just calling plays right now. And he's got to get away from that. Where we know about Kyle Shanahan and his acumen. So I agree with Jeffrey Benson on that one. I think when you look at the board, the Eagles are the number one seed right now, but then you got the Niners at number three, right? And the Eagles have some tough games left on their schedule, you would think. I mean, some of the competitive situations based on how they play and how they look right now.
The thing you have to figure out with Philadelphia is clearly was the last 2 weeks we just saw your typical midseason swoon for a legit Super Bowl contender, or was this a troubling sign of and maybe a harbinger of things to come down the stretch? The run defense has continued to be an issue. 31st heading into last week, were gashed by Jonathan Taylor and the Indianapolis Colts. But the one bright spot in that If you look at the deep dive, some of the advanced numbers with both Linval Joseph and Ndamukong Suh on the field,
right?
The recent additions trying to shore up a bad interior defensive line for the Eagles, when those two players are on the field, albeit in limited snaps, did limit Indianapolis to sub 4 yards a carry in the game on Sunday. Is that a small sample size that was kind of random, or do you think as those two D linemen get more integrated into the scheme overall, that could actually be a positive trend down the stretch?
Well, I mean, it could be. I think, you know, the young man, Jordan Davis, you know, he's not out for the year, right?
They hope to have him back by the end of the regular season.
Right, hopefully. So that's going to bolster things too. Remember, the Colts, their offensive line was not very good.
It was not.
It was not very good. And yeah, I know the influence of Saturday, the rah-rah, the energy and all that, the change of message that helped and energized his football team a little bit. But there's still deficiencies within that football team, talking about the Colts. And so I'll give the Eagles credit now, but we'll see what happens as you play teams within your division and more competitive situations that way. I mean, and Ndamukong Suh he's not in game shape. You know, he's still a force, but we'll see what he turns into, right? And we'll see how he fits within what they want to do with that Eagles defense. But, yeah, stopping a run has been a problem all year, and I don't know if the addition of those two guys is just going to help what ails the Eagles right now in that regard.
But just – and think about the teams that Philadelphia is going to face in the postseason, mm-hmm. the teams right now of the elites – in the NFC, a run-first team in San Francisco who has multiple weapons. Dallas, a team that is a ball-control, dual-head attack
right.
running game as well. And then you think about where does Tampa Bay, if you're going a little bit further down the list, Tampa Bay, New York Giants, where do they fit in that list? Tampa Bay mm-hmm. of the weaker run teams. Giants certainly run heavy, but have a lot of other weaknesses as well. You see the Seahawks right now currently sit as your 7 seed in the NFC playoff picture. The update on Jordan Davis, they are optimistic. They say that he has a chance to be activated off IR when he's eligible week 13 against the Titans. When you kind of read between the lines, though, it sort of sounds like week 14 against the Giants is the more natural target date. But I look at San Francisco and say they're the only team across both the NFC and the AFC, only team who's top 10 in both yards per play offensively mm-hmm. and defensively, top 10 in both pass and rush defense, and are top 10 in both average yards per drive offensively and allowed defensively. To me, six are the most important metrics when I do my own power ratings and look at numbers. So when you have that level of consistency across the board, I think you have to power rate San Francisco higher. And that, to me, does not really equate to just a recency bias thing.
Sure.
That's real.
No, absolutely. Let me ask you this, though. Like, quarterback-driven league, you think it is today in 2022, right now?
I still think you have to say yes, but it's certainly not to the degree...
Look
it
who's
was the, when you think about. I mean, I know you're, what you're going to say.
Yeah, look all who's the fourth seed.
All the teams.
Look who's the fourth seed.
Tom Brady.
Is it a quarterback-driven league? I mean, you just mentioned that defense too for Tampa Bay. I mean, it's interesting from a betting perspective. If this is a quarterback-driven league, still, even though the running game and even though the creativity in the running game has suggested otherwise. This is a quarterback-driven league at 5-5, 500.
That's why the AFC playoff picture. I mean, that's really the conference, though, that mm-hmm. I think would drive your point home when you're looking at, okay, what if you're thinking about power ratings and which teams have value at this point? Because you go down the list, and I don't know how you rate the top five teams, but if we're saying Buffalo, Kansas City, Cincinnati, Baltimore, Miami, those are five teams that have – Lamar Jackson grades out the worst of all those quarterbacks, and he's still top 10 in most metrics overall. So that clearly leads into your thinking where the AFC is much more panned out to the traditional state of the NFL where elite quarterbacks are kind of running the day there.
Yeah, they are. They really are. But I guess another point I'm making, too, about Tampa Bay is that they didn't play themselves out of the playoff picture, even though they had so much crumbling around them. They're 500. I mean, think about that for a minute. It moving forward, not the rearview mirror, at that front windshield. There's no divorce out there. There's no pending or looming a divorce out there. There's no, injury situation that. I mean, maybe something else could happen. I mean, I can't say that right now. But
so you feel like they're a play on team here.
If it's a quarterback driven league, still, if you believe that way, if you bet that way, I think you take a look at that. But I kind of think. The league has taken that away a little bit, mm-hmm. And it really is focusing in on the matchups and even average quarterback play. Because look at the NFC; it's all average quarterbacks, but yet the supporting cast are elevated. The talent pool is elevated around those quarterbacks, though.
It's pretty remarkable when you see just the general improvement of the teams around mm-hmm. Tampa Bay, but you find yourself asking the question for the Bucs. You come off of a bye, finally getting healthy. It's the healthiest the defense right. will be all season heading in. You take on a Cleveland team, final week of Jacoby Brissett this week on the road, miserable defense. Is this not kind of the point where Tampa ought to, at least, based on the numbers, go on a run here, laying three yeah. against Cleveland?
What are they, plus 700?
They're eight to one.
Right. Oh, is it 8-1?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dude, that's enticing, Fritch. Fritch is getting sucked in by Tampa.
Not getting sucked in. Not yet.
But we're at least having the conversation.
Have the conversation. I'm high on the 49ers. I told you about that.
We both would. I think that's the takeaway. Yeah. We would both power rate San Francisco higher than Philadelphia on a neutral right now. When we return, we'll talk about teams on the other end of the spectrum. What to make of the Jets quarterback situation as well as the continued struggles in Denver.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN with Ben Wilson and Mike Pritchard.
You don't have to wait until after Turkey Day to score a Black Friday deal with VSiN. New VSiN Pro annual subscribers get a $30 credit to the VSiN store. With VSiN Pro access, you get a daily recap of the top plays made by all of our VSiN show hosts and guests, and tools like our betting splits that let you see where the money and bets are moving every single game. Deep dive daily betting reports, plus our upcoming College Bowl and Super Bowl betting guides. The VSiN store is a great place to shop for VSiN sports betting hats, shirts, mugs, and other great gear. Hurry, this is a limited time Black Friday offer, so sign up now for the perfect sports betting holiday gift at VSiN.com/subscribe. Still no goals in Mexico and Poland as the nervous fans behind us continue to sit inside the Circa Sportsbook Studios 72nd minute there of the World Cup. We're talking teams now on the opposite side of the end of the spectrum here, Mike. Not in the playoff picture, but really struggling right now. Denver is a team I'll get to first, and then we'll go to a team that kind of fits both molds, where the New York Jets are in the playoff picture, but a lot of issues going on there.
Sure.
Denver Broncos. We're at the point now where had the Broncos just scored 18 points, 18, that's not very many. That would rank 28th in the National Football League in points per game. Had the Broncos scored 18 points a game, just in regulation, their record would be 9-1. 9-1.
Yeah.
And that would be still with a bottom five offense. And we yet again see a game against the Raiders where Broncos could not get a stop, could not get the extra field goal they needed to win the game and paid for it.
To think, you know, they got rid of Vic Fangio for Nathaniel Hackett. The defense is just as good, but if the offense has suffered. The offense was better last year than it is this year. See when you can overthink the room I don't know who pulled the trigger on that, to be honest with you, because they didn't have an owner at the time. I guess the GM might have made the final decision on Vic Fangio that way. But, no, the consistency for the defense for the Broncos has been stellar from last year to this year. They were one of the better red zone defenses last year. The Vic Fangio way of things is the reason why scoring is down. I mean, think about the National Football League and how you're playing the 4-2-5 and – how you're bending but not breaking. I mean, out in the field between the 20s, okay, we'll give you some stuff, but in the red zone, we're going to clamp down on you. You know, that's Vic Fangio 1A, 100, 101 right there, really. I mean, so the Broncos overthought this big time. I mean, I think Nathaniel Hackett was brought there and trying to entice Aaron Rodgers to begin with. But you settled for Russell Wilson, and that hasn't worked out. But the Broncos are suffering mightily for some poor decisions. Certainly didn't have an ownership standpoint. Now they do. Now they probably will have direction. But just to think about that, if you average that many points a game, you could be 9-1 right now.
Probably the lesson to take away for ownership groups going forward is hiring somebody solely because of his potential tie to lure in a high-priced free agent is not an optimal long-term strategy.
No, that's not a strategy.
That out. You would think, given the ownership change, how Hackett was hired before it was finalized and new owners were brought in, you got to think. At this point, one and done feels all but a certainty, right? The only question is, will they allow him to see out the remainder of the year?
I don't know where they can go. Like, there's the talk in Denver, because I've been on in Denver a lot, and it's like, we got to fix Russell Wilson. Well, how do you fix him if you can't fix your coach? I mean, your coach has been through everything experimental. They got an advisor in there. He relinquished the play-calling duties, and now he's got an eye on everything, but is he competent? I mean, his incompetence started in training camp when he had a tissue approach to training camp. Oh, what we did in Green Bay and 13-win seasons, I'm going to implement here in Denver. I was like, how do you do that? one. You had a culture ingrained and standard, right? And you have phenomenal players. Okay, you can approach training camp that way. But in a new situation when you got to find out and evaluate players, why do you do that? Mm. I'll give you the difference between a Super Bowl winning head coach that understands how to take over a franchise and his Coach Holmgren. We actually had a combine because this is what he said. It's like, I know what you guys did, and we have a book on you guys and players when you were coming out of college, but I don't know what you guys or who you guys are right now. I got to find that out. So in an off season, we actually had a combine, the bench press test, the shuttle test, the 40s and all that, to kind of get a gauge on what he's working with. And there's nothing wrong with that. In today's NFL, I don't know why coaches don't do that when they take over a situation. Maybe some coaches do, and they don't let that information out. But it's fascinating to think that little detail can be the difference. And we actually won a division that year.
Because 1999, your final year in the league with John Kitna, starting quarterback. Sure. You were able to get by with limited personnel at quarterback.
Right, but if you inherit a team, what they did in college in 5, 6, 7 years ago is completely different than what you have now, mm-hmm. Unless you have a young team. And so what's going on in Denver, I suggested that they were overrated. I knew that. And I don't know how, if there's any signs out there for them to fix it anytime soon.
What did you see out of Clint Kubiak as a play caller first week? Anything different from the overall strategy?
No, I mean, I know people said that there was structure in the beginning of the game. Well, that's because he's scripted. A lot of coaches are scripted that way, and he's part of that kind of tree and that philosophy. But outside of that, it's the same stuff. I mean, the lack of execution is still out there because of what's going on the field.
And it's a team that's now 9-1 to the under this year, mm-hmm. yet total, that is, I'm just looking at the updated odds board, mostly 35s now.
Oh, wow.
35, that's a preseason total, yeah. Mike. It's preseason total. Broncos in Carolina, it's impossible for us to recommend a play here because we have no idea who's playing quarterback for mm-hmm. Carolina. That has been the controversy this week. Steve Wilks is the interim coach yet to determine whether it will be Baker Mayfield or Sam Darnold at quarterback. How you adjust your own personal power rating between the difference of two is kind of a funny exercise in and of itself.
Yeah.
Broncos right now, short favorite on the road. It's just you don't see this getting much better, though, and at least against a Carolina defense that is solid. Those are going to be some very low team. I mean, we're going to be looking at 19 on the mm-hmm. team totals probably. If you're looking at a 35 to 36 spread, probably like 19, 16 and a half right now. I don't know how you look over on Denver.
It's perfectly. You're right on the number. Right now it opened at 19 and a half to 17. Now live is 19 and 16 and a half, like you mentioned. So, the strategy in Carolina. Might as well just let Sam Darnold play. That's the strategy right now.
Could be an actionable betting strategy, though. What you said about the scripted plays, where that can sometimes fool us into thinking a team has got a good game plan because the first 10 to 15 plays look good.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say Denver comes out, gets an early score. You're going to see in the live betting markets that team total get boosted up, just like it did last week against the Raiders, and that could be a spot to then come back down hammer and under from what you're saying.
Absolutely. I mean, Stefanski is another one like that. Coaches that get lost. And typically it's the offensive play caller / head coach too, right? That you can kind of lean on for that. After they get off script and they actually have to dive into adjustments, are they behind the eight ball? Are they behind the team that their opponent? And a lot of times without the acumen of a Kyle Shanahan who's done it a number of years or a number of coaches that have done it a number of years, absolutely, that's a great angle, Ben.
Probably a pro tip we might have just
I think it is
we might have just done covered there.
Organically.
That's what we try to do here on the Lombardi line. Another team in the AFC, dismal on offense with an elite defense, but does find itself in the heart of the playoff picture. The New York Jets and Zach Wilson, after the loss to New England, a 10-3 loss as the quarterback comes out, questions were asked of him, saying, do you feel like you are to blame here for the lack of offense? And he said, no, not on
quickly.
Us. It's not, and yes, right away said that. It's not on us whatsoever. Robert Saleh, as a head coach, comes out yesterday and says, we are keeping an open mind. We're not going to decide on a quarterback yet. Zach Wilson, if we look at the numbers so far, Mike, 30th in success rate among the 32 qualified starters, 31st in completion percentage, and 30th in EPA per play. If the New York Jets had, let's just say, a run-of-the-mill Veteran, average, totally mediocre quarterback. Let's say
Joe Flacco.
Throw any of your Matt Ryans of the world, that sort of ilk of quarterback. What's the record right now for the Jets?
Oh, it's better than it is now. I mean, I'm trying to remember what Joe Flacco was when he started. Well, he's 1-2.
I mean, he looked like a statue for what it's worth.
But the Jets didn't turn into what they are at that point.
Right.
So you go deeper on the roster. Yeah, I mean, Zach Wilson, this guy is holding them back. You know, it's his attitude, too, more so than a talent. He's Jeff George 8.0. You remember Jeff George?
I do.
I mean, Jeff George had superior talent. I mean, this guy could have been Aaron Rodgers. He could have been Brett Favre. He could have been John Elway. He could have been Dan Marino. I played against him in college and certainly in the National Football League. But up here,
at least Jeff George had talent, though. Like, I look at Wilson.
Zach's
got
talent. But up here, he doesn't understand how to play the game.
When I watch Wilson, I see a guy who played against subpar competition in college, mm-hmm. who's undersized, who has great mobility, but has zero confidence or trust in his own arm and looks totally lost in the NFL game.
Well, you know what? He's got too much trust in his arm and too much trust in his talent. And the thing about him is he's talented enough to be dangerous because he's not disciplined enough to be good. That's the difference in Jeff George Zach Wilson and all these other quarterbacks. Josh Rosen, I mean, you can go on and on. I said 8.0 because we've seen this story repeatedly.
That's been the evolution.
Right. So many talented quarterbacks that just don't account to anything because of the lack of discipline.
I was going to say, at least, Jeff George led the Falcons to the divisional game in 95, lost to the Packers.
Outlier.
But at least, I'm trying to help his case in retrospect. At least he put up some big numbers. Zach Wilson not getting the job done right now. Jets, 4.5-point favorites right now against Chicago. Rumors that Justin Fields might be able to give it a go this week. Will Hill joins us next, our VSiN betting analyst.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notified, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN with Ben Wilson and Mike Pritchard.
Basketball fans can turn a loss into a win with the King of Sportsbooks. Just place a single first basket score prop on any NBA game. If your bet loses, you'll receive up to $25 back in free bets. Wager confidently and take your game to the next level with BetMGM, an authorized gaming partner of the NBA. Just log into your account or download the BetMGM app and sign up today. Then wager on any player to score the first basket in any NBA game. If your bet misses, you'll get up to $25 back in free bets. Turn game time into showtime with BetMGM. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. Time for our pro tip of the hour, of which we have one each and every hour across the network, 20 a day. You can see them all sorted by show and sport at vsin.com for pro subscribers. Mike, you and I, we kind of tag teamed this one. We got there together. When you're looking for in-game betting opportunities, you can look to teams who have differentiations between scripted play calling success and general numbers outside of that. So if it's a poor offense, but who looks good early in the scripted plays, as you were telling us, Mike, usually the first 15 or so plays, that can be an optimal time to look for in-game markets and specifically in-game unders when you're looking, again, weak offenses who get off to good starts with their scripted plays that, as you've pointed out, are very much different than the actual flow of the game.
Yeah, because I think it's important to point out that calling plays is a talent. Just like we evaluate as bettors, we evaluate quarterbacks and edge rushers, defensive backs, wide receivers, whatever. Evaluate the coaches or the play caller the same way. How talented is that play caller? How savvy are they to get to adjustments? And how ready is that team after they get through the script? Right, and so I think that could be certainly an advantage for you as an in-game bettor.
You're using the example of Clint Kubiak in Denver, touchdown on the opening drive, scripted plays.
About 15 of them.
Yeah, 9 points after said scripted plays. As we welcome in Will Hill, our resident VSiN betting analyst. Will joins us each and every Tuesday on the Lombardi Line. Will, we're first off, man, you're looking sharp in that Lombardi Line zip-up. That thing looks good, man. You ready for some Thanksgiving action? I understand you already have some plays going.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a nice little shout out to the VSiN store. Go to VSiN.com, check out everything they have to offer. Some holiday gifts is being a company man here. But yeah, great time of the year. Food, football. We got college basketball, soccer, football on Thursday. Football seems like all day, all night with all these college games. So it's definitely a fun time of the year.
Yes, with the tip-offs in college basketball now starting 8 a.m. on the West Coast. And I think the last tip-off last night was about 11 p.m. here, like 11 p.m. West Coast time. So, yes, it is a great time to be a bettor along with the World Cup as well. We talked earlier, though, Will, there's a lot of movement already for the Thanksgiving Day games. You're already interested in one sizable dog. Who are you putting your money behind there?
I like Detroit plus the 10 at the 9, the 9.5. I wasn't super interested, but now we're going to get to a 10. That's in an area where, hey, backdoor cover potential. 10 is a lot of points, and I think I'm just sort of conditioned with this Lions team to see that plus sign and to jump on him because Campbell here, he's actually won 2 games in a row, but even when they're not winning games, they cover. They cover, and they've won 2 weeks in a row as outright underdogs. They played pretty well here. As long as you hang within the number, they're going to fight till the end. So getting 10 here against a Buffalo pass defense that can be moved on, and we saw Cleveland moving on them. We saw Minnesota moving on them. Cleveland was very unfortunate to not even really come away with a win there because they had some chances earlier where they dropped touchdown passes, they fumbled, they sort of had Buffalo on the rope. So I like Detroit. There are 10s out there. I would not take the 9.5, but at 10, it's a play for me.
Will, what about a game I think a lot of people aren't talking a lot about? It. I think it could be a good game, fantastic game. It's New England, Minnesota. Minnesota, man, they didn't even show up against the Cowboys, right? And New England's been struggling all year. It's still Belichick, though, as a dog. And this matchup against a team that a lot of people figure to be fraudulent, right, with some flaws there. So your thoughts on New England, Minnesota?
Yeah, well, the Vikings should be rested because they took the week off last week against the Cowboys.
Yeah,
so they should have some legs under them. I like the under. Both teams' offensive lines are a mess. Darrishaw, the stud left tackle. Hey, we don't spend a lot of time talking about offensive linemen on these shows. Usually for good reason, they're sort of interchangeable, but Darrishaw is a guy that's a huge difference maker for Minnesota. We saw him come out of the game with a concussion against Dallas, and it was a free-for-all in that offensive line. And Cousins, a guy, if you get pressure on him, he's not going to extend the play. That's one of his flaws. He's not Mahomes. He's not some of these other guys, Lamar Jackson, that can make a play when there's nothing there. So Minnesota's offensive line's an issue. The Patriots lost a couple of starting linemen against the Jets. And their offense, we saw all their struggles against the Jets where they only scored 3 points on offense. They were sort of fortunate to come away with a win. And the Patriots defense is legit. So you get 2 struggling offenses, you get some missing offensive linemen, and you get a legitimately really good, probably a top 5 defense in New England here. Short week, everything adds up to me for an under. And these unders, for whatever reason, the trend on Thanksgiving, 7 in a row have hit on the Thursday night Thanksgiving game, and I think it's 11-4. Overall, so these Thursday night Thanksgiving games have been unders.
I just always think of the Thursday night Thanksgiving game. Remember when it first started, Mike? It was it was Josh McDaniels' first year in Denver, and they had remember there was the hot mic, and he was dropping F-bombs left and right, piped into all the family living rooms.
Right. I was against the Giants, right?
They killed the Giants. Yeah. Broncos, Giants, I want to say 2006 or 7, whatever year they started doing the 3 games. I always remember that. I'm like in high school. I'm sitting around the family living room, and it's like, whoa, oh, my God, Josh McDaniels. So when we look at the rest of the week 12 slate here, Will, I can't believe you're doing this. You're looking for a teaser, and you are going to tease maybe the ugliest short dog in Carolina without even knowing who is the quarterback here, Will, along with Tennessee. So explain yourself on the logic behind this teaser.
Yeah, we got Carolina versus Denver. I mean, I can't remember the last time I saw a total of 35 in the NFL. I think it's creeped up to 36, but there was a 35 out there. I mean, this is basically like Iowa, Minnesota in college football. So you're getting a game where there's not going to be a lot of points. If you can tease Carolina up to 8.5, that is very valuable. Look, somebody's going to win the game 16-13. We know all the stats about the Broncos and their defense in what is a Super Bowl rematch from, what, 6-7 years ago now. These teams have certainly fallen off from that. But getting the Panthers up to 8.5, and then you compare them with the Titans, who are still getting 1.5 against the Bengals. To me, the Bengals, Titans, take your pick who's the better team. But you get the Titans at home, you can get them to 7.5. So in a league where there's so much parity, all these teams are close, all these games are close, I'll go with a Panthers-Titans teaser here. As this is a wonk teaser, so it's an advantage teaser. I like this one.
Yeah, Will, I love how you bet, because I often listen to you and heed what you say, because it's so interesting and profitable. Now, I've been stating about Tampa Bay and the possibility that Tom Brady could get hot with this football team. It's a tough number, though, against Cleveland. It's 3.5 now, 42.5 is the total. I see 143. What are your thoughts on Tampa Bay at this moment?
Yeah, you hit it on the head, because the difference between 3 and 3.5 is all the difference in the world. Directionally, I like Tampa. I can't lay 3.5 when you could have laid 3. If the 3s pop up again, I'll be on Tampa. Directionally, I like them, though. I think, you know, the team we saw in Germany against Seattle, sort of the team we expected, where, you know, they stopped the run, they got themselves organized. Their front seven is a lot healthier now, and Cleveland's a team that needs to run the ball. This Tampa team is hard to run the ball on when they're healthy, and they're getting there in terms of their front seven. I think the bye week helps getting their receivers organized. I think Tampa's going to make a little bit of a run here. They're healthier. They got the bye. Maybe whatever Brady's personal issues are, perhaps behind him now. I do think the bye is a big factor here. I just like this Tampa team. I'm just not in the mood to lay 3.5 when, you know, threes were available. And who knows? Maybe you'll see a 3 pop up somewhere at some point during the week.
Yeah, still a long way to go in the market. And the numbers still are shaded. 3.5 towards Cleveland. So maybe you do see a 3 continue to pop at some point in the week on Tampa. Will Hill joining us right now, who you can follow at Not The Will Hill. That Bronco-Giants game I looked up, by the way, 2009. And the Giants lost 26-6. So maybe that started the trend of the night game unders in Thanksgiving Day once we've gone to the 3. But there's one other game. It's the largest spread on the board, Will, that you have an eye on, with Matthew Stafford back in concussion protocol now for the Rams after leaving early in a loss to New Orleans. Chiefs are laying 14.5. Biggest number on the board. What are you doing?
Yeah, this number got away from me too. Again, I don't want to sit here and invent the numbers, but at 14, it's actually a play for me on the Chiefs. At 14.5, I would pass. But just again, directionally, we got a third-string quarterback most likely in Perkins playing for the Rams. I can't imagine Stafford plays with multiple concussions. Everything we've seen with Tua, I can't imagine they'll run Stafford out there with another concussion. And who knows if we see Stafford anymore. To me, this is a Rams team that's just totally shot. No Cup, no quarterback, you know, no offensive line here. The Chiefs are going to get their 27-30 points against everybody. That's just what they do. Can the Rams really get to 17 points here on the road with that offensive line, with that quarterback in a hostile environment? I don't see that. To me, this is 31-10 written all over it. Again, I don't like laying 2 touchdowns in the NFL, but this is a situation where I feel like the Chiefs put it on them and win the game pretty comfortably.
As a quick bonus pick, you got to play on the big game, Ohio State-Michigan this week, Will?
Let's go under. I don't know if Corum's going to play. If he does play, I don't know if he's going to be healthy. I don't love that Michigan quarterback. I think Harbaugh tried to muck the game up. Neither team's really been that impressive. You know, Michigan was lucky to come away with a win last week. Ohio State wasn't great against Maryland. Let's go with a 27-20 Ohio State win.
There we go. Okay. Michigan keeps it inside the number 2, 7.5. Will Hill, great to catch you as always. Happy Thanksgiving in advance, my man. Thanks for joining us.
All right, guys. Happy Thanksgiving to you guys and your families. Appreciate you.
Absolutely. We still have a lot more, though, for tonight to discuss on the show. Hour number 2 of the Lombardi Line. When we return, it's time to break down the 3 Thanksgiving Day games. We'll start in Detroit on the other side.
Basketball fans can turn a loss into a win with the King of Sportsbooks. Just place a single first basket score or prop bet on any NBA game. If your bet loses, you'll receive up to $25 back in free bets. Wager confidently and take your game to the next level with Bet and the Next Level with Bet and the Next Level with Bet and the Next Level.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.